This is the Quality News Network. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy, said today he will not support President Bush's choice for Attorney General Michael Mukasey. He criticizes Mukasey for failing to take a strong enough stand against torture, such as the controversial waterboarding interrogation technique. However, Democratic Senators Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein say they will support his nomination. A federal judge ruled today that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and other high-ranking national security officials will have to testify in an espionage case involving pro-Israeli lobbyists. The lobbyists are accused of receiving classified information and passing it along to an Israeli official and the press. The largest nuclear plant in the U.S. near Phoenix is under lockdown after a worker was stopped and detained with a small explosive device in the back of his pickup truck. The worker was at the entrance of the Palo Verde nuclear generating station. In Mexico, the low-lying Gulf state of Tabasco is experiencing the worst flooding in 50 years after heavy rains all week. Rescue workers are trying to save thousands of residents who are clinging to rooftops. Officials say about 70% of the state is underwater. They also fear the possible outbreak of disease such as cholera. Overall, it is estimated that nearly 1 million people are affected by the floods. President Bush spoke at Fort Jackson, South Carolina today. He said the U.S. military deaths in Iraq have dropped to the lowest levels in 19 months. He also said the Iraqi people are slowly, quote, taking back their country, end quote. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Turkish officials today in Ankara. She told them that the Kurdish rebels in northern Iraq were a, quote, common threat to both countries' interests. She also pledged that the United States would help Turkey in its fight against the rebel fighters. Turkey's foreign minister reportedly pressed Secretary Rice for urgent action on the matter. Also today, President Bush vetoed a $23 billion bill that authorized hundreds of water projects across the U.S. The legislation included money for the restoration of wetlands, the prevention of flooding, and the repair of hurricane damage. Lawmakers say they will have enough bipartisan votes to override the president's veto, which would be the first successful veto override of his presidency. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in a business bank?
I think flexibility and reliability and service.
Why did you go to them?
Because they wanted the business, and they earned it by being aggressive and being very responsive to our needs.
Really, this is the first bank that took a genuine interest in me being successful.
So it's a local bank with big bank benefits. And networking.
Exactly. So you go in, they know who you are, but they can give you enough support to be able to do the bigger aspects of things that we're looking at, and they've helped me do that.
Why is a personal touch important to a business account?
Well, I think it goes back to understanding and working hard for your customers, and it's nice to have the backing of a bank that feels the same way.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Hurricane Noel is growing as it moves into the Atlantic Ocean toward North Carolina's Cape Hatteras. It has moved away from the Bahamas and the Caribbean, where 118 people have died. The Washington Post reports that documents indicate the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission and her predecessor have taken dozens of trips paid for by lobbying groups and lawyers that represent the industries they regulate. A spokeswoman for the agency said that its lawyers and ethics officers held full conflict of interest analysis and stand behind their approval of the trips. The Commerce Department reports that in September, U.S. factory orders were up 0.2%. The Labor Department reports that in October, 166,000 jobs were added. That's the largest amount in 5 months. The Labor Department report also found that in October, the unemployment rate held at 4.7% for the second month in a row. The number two oil company in the U.S., Chevron, reports its third quarter earnings dropped more than 25%. Gold is trading at $808.50 an ounce, light sweet crude trading at $95.93 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones was up 27 points, the NASDAQ was up 16 points, and the S&P 500 up 1 point. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
Okay! Talk Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to Friday. Welcome to the front porch. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. From deep in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful, almost level West Virginia. And this is Front Porch Friday. It's a chance, as you know by now, for callers who usually spend the time talking with me to talk amongst yourselves in a format other than that of the chat room. Isn't that cool? So, you know the phone numbers, of course, toll-free if you need us to pick up the freight, 877-443-2366. But if you've got some sort of national long-distance dialing plan or unlimited long-distance or something like that, you can do it on your own nickel at 304-658-5453 and make our lives a little bit simpler, a little bit cheaper. It's about 7 minutes past the hour, and, let's see. If you heard the first three stories of the top of the hour news, you know probably where I was headed. The interesting little story about subpoenas being issued for the likes of Elliot Abrams, for whom death and destruction follow in his wake wherever he goeth, and for Condoleezza Rice and for Stephen Hadley in this case involving AIPAC lobbyists who were busted for spying on the United States of America. Now, being AIPAC lobbyists, of course, we don't do something like send them to Guantanamo Bay like we would if they were of the Muslim faith or Arabic nationality or anything, or God knows Iranian. No. No, we give them a nice, fair trial like everybody else ought to get, too. But the case itself is getting a little bit complicated, and it's getting a little bit, shall we say, messy. And it's getting messy because, among other things, the defense counsel for the two AIPAC spies have demanded the right to confront their accusers and to call witnesses in their own defense. You know, that silly stuff that's contained in the Constitution. Well, in the Bill of Rights, at least. So today, a federal judge by the name of, I had it here just a minute ago, T.S. Ellis III, said in his opinion that the accused spies have a right to argue that, quote, they believed the meetings charged in the indictment were simply further examples of the government's use of AIPAC as a diplomatic back channel. One of the lawyers for the accused spies, Abby Lowell, said, quote, for over 2 years we have been explaining that our client's conduct was lawful and completely consistent with how the U.S. government dealt with AIPAC and other foreign policy groups. We look forward to the trial. This is going to be... I don't know about you, but when I go to a wrestling match and I see the guy in the red tights whomping up on the guy in the blue tights, I usually like to sit back with a little bit of popcorn, maybe a Coca-Cola. So, as this thing unfolds, get out your popcorn and your Coca-Cola, because this here is a wrestling match. Baby, it's a boat race. The fix is in. Because on the one hand, the Bush administration may yet haul out the national security, national secrets defense, which is sort of like this big old Trump card that just puts the kibosh on everything, including inquiries after facts or truth or finding out if, once again, Israel is spying on us, you know, their best friend, the United States. Notice I use the word again. I hate it when my friends spy on me. You wouldn't think your friends would need to spy on you, but they do. So what? Here's what is likely to happen. Judge Ellis has said that he may not let the Bush administration plead privilege or national security. If that's the case, and it means kind of sleazy Rice has to choose between her monoloblonic pumps or her $4,000 Ferragamo pumps to go with her lizard skin suit dress outfit and march into court and stick her hand in the air and take an oath and swear to tell the truth and talk about just how much of our national security information the Bush administration has allowed to be passed through AIPAC to a foreign government, well, then the United States government prosecution, which of course is run by the Department of Justice, which of course is run by the Bush administration and has become a wholly owned subsidiary of the political arm of the Bush administration in the last 4 years, may have to just fold its tents and slip quietly into the night and let the spies get away with it. Because you know that the Bush administration is not going to let this go public. If the testimony goes forward, the case gets dropped. Bet me. Other subpoenas: Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Armitage, Mark Grossman. God. We just don't have... This is embarrassing. How many billions of dollars do we pump a year into Israel, and Israel still feels the need to spy on the United States? And we catch their spies, and we probably won't even be able to put the little bastards in prison? Oh, no. Don't you haul out the anti-Semitic card. No. I don't like anybody spying on the United States. Iranians, Israelis, the old Soviets, Brits, Frenchmen, Italians, Japanese, Chinese. I don't, you know, I sort of... I adhere to the old rule about what you do with a spy. And the fact of the matter is, AIPAC, and this isn't, you know, one of those, AIPAC is chin deep with spies. And they're hand in glove with the Bush administration. And KUFI, you know, Citizens United, Christians United for Israel. And all this business about, oh, our national security, and we hand our national security over on a silver platter to a country that we subsidize and make possible to exist. Stephen Rosen and Keith Weissman say that they were an unofficial but sanctioned team that helped to craft foreign policy. They say that Hadley and Rice and Elliot Abrams and the rest of the sleazoids will confirm it. Trials being held in Alexandria, Virginia. They received classified information. This is the nature of the accusation. from a now-convicted Pentagon official. Is this the guy who was working at Shepherd College in West Virginia? Is this the same guy? Yeah, I think so. They got it from him, and they turned around and passed it on through AIPAC to an Israeli official, and they passed it along to the press. Now, what was this? What kind of information was it? Well, it was information about the so-called terror network maintained by Al-Qaeda, which the Bush administration has repeatedly said, we can't know about why they're spying on us because of Al-Qaeda. It's very frustrating. Let's see. Now, I tell you what. Nah, never mind. Phone call coming in that I need to take that's not business related. I hate it when that happens. But I won't. 16 minutes after 6. We're doing business here now. Okie doke. Let's try this. There we go. You're on hold now. Please stay that way for a moment. Is it unfair to criticize another country for spying on us and using lobbyist intermediaries to pass the information along? Information about the bombing of the Khobar Towers? Information about U.S. policy in Iran? What do you think? Is it a little bit, does it make your, does it pass the smell test? Does it, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, is it a duck? Regardless of who it is, are you willing to sit still while a foreign country spies on your country? If you replace the name Israel with Russia, this nation would be having a fit. All I'm talking about is decent, civilized behavior among nations. I mean, for God's sakes, you and me, we pay a ton of money to subsidize that country's existence. I'm not going to enter into the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, or right or wrong. I believe that Israel has a complete right to exist. Absolutely. I've got some misgivings about having to prop them up financially. But I really do have to draw a line at being spied on by the people that whose government and nation we're propping up with our money. We are paying to be spied on. And that's kind of sickening, isn't it? See who's on the phone. Quitter. So, don't expect this to come to anything. This thing will dry up and blow away. The spies will get away. Condoleezza Rice, Stephen Hadley, Elliot Abrams, the whole bloody cabal won't have to testify. And the skies are not cloudy all day. And by the way, they'll keep, via AIPAC, we'll keep spying on the United States. Because, we can't be trusted. Jesus. The other story early out of the gate tonight. First Bush veto to be overridden, the headline. The Senate Republicans and House Republicans couldn't bring themselves to override a veto to provide health care for 10 million American middle-class children whose parents don't have access to health care for them in the first place and who don't make little enough money to get their kids on Medicaid. Couldn't do that. But if it comes to something with that smells of a little bit of pork, now understand, this bill needed to be passed. Our infrastructure is crumbling. And this is the WERDA bill. It passed 81-12 in the Senate earlier this year. It passed 381-40 in the House. Both of those are utterly veto-proof. And George Bush, stubborn, stick-in-the-mud, dumber than a bag of rags, George Bush vetoed it anyway. This bill includes funding for water projects, bridges, dams, as well as funding for Katrina recovery. George Bush vetoed it. And he's going to get it crammed down his throat now. And Republicans will get to go home prior to the elections next year and say, "See, I'm not afraid of no George Bush. See there? I voted to override his veto. Look, you're going to get a nice new bridge now." They might even say that in Alaska. Who knows? Maybe the bridge to nowhere is in this bill. The bill will be passed into law over George Bush's veto, because it has everything that an incumbent Republican could want. The ability to say that you're standing up to George Bush, and the tangible evidence of it in the form of the Republican congressman's name here, Memorial Dam, Bridge, Creek Crossing, Culvert. One top GOP aide described the realities behind overriding this veto by saying, "Everyone gets a taste. Everyone gets a taste." So, you know, congratulations, he's finally going to get a veto overridden. Meanwhile, 10 million American children will continue to go without viable health insurance. Nice, huh? But maybe they'll have clean drinking water. You know, it's not one or the other. You don't have to choose clean drinking water or health insurance. We can have both. As the saying goes, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. But I imagine it's a little bit, things are a little bit nervous out Arizona way, within the blast path of the Palo Verde Nuclear Generating Station, the largest nuclear facility in the United States. The station was put on lockdown, keeping anyone from entering or leaving the facility earlier today, after security officials found what would appear to be a small explosive device. The way it's described, it sounds like a pipe bomb, in the back of a contract worker's pickup truck. Contract worker. Who does a lot of contract work for the government? Halliburton, Kellogg Burn and Loot, Blackwater. Unfortunately, there's not enough journalism in this story to tell us who the guy was a contract worker for. So, rest easy, I guess, Arizona. They're on the job. They found the empty pipe bomb. A police dog detected suspicious residue inside the sealed pipe as the worker was showing up at the job site around 8 a.m. today. They couldn't immediately identify what the residue was. Plant officials stressed that there is no danger to the public, no danger to the public, no danger to the public. Move along now, nothing to see here. These are not the droids you're looking for. Oh, it just goes on and on and on tonight. Now, we know from a long way back what my opinion is of talking about photographs on the radio. It is, in fact, dancing about architecture. And I've got one in front of me now that just makes me want to weep. Marine Lieutenant Andrew Kennard, or what is left of him, which would be everything from the waist up. His legs are gone. He's in a wheelchair. He's in his dress blues. The trousers of his dress blues are folded up underneath him as he sits propped up in his wheelchair. George Bush leaning over to shake his hand, to pat him on the back. Yeah, you're doing a heck of a job, Andrew. The photograph, you know, it's sort of like one of those Hall of Mirrors things. Bush with his hand on his back and a picture of the photographer getting in nice and tight. The photographer's back. And got to get a good one here with, yeah. And then a few seconds later, Lieutenant Kennard watching as George Bush turns his back on him to go and shake hands with someone else, and Kennard looking at the president's back. All these are at news.yahoo.com/photo. I would imagine if you search Marine Lieutenant Andrew Kennard, K-I-N-A-R-D, you can see these for yourself. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the Democrats took a real live 12-year-old child who had been injured horribly in a horrific auto accident, whose sister was even more profoundly injured. And their injuries were attended to by virtue of the fact that this family had CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program. Had they not had that coverage, little Graham Frost and his sister probably would not have survived. The Democrats let Graham Frost tell his own story in the Democratic radio address on a Saturday morning, the response to George Bush's prattling. For his troubles, Graham Frost was stalked by the likes of Michelle Malkin. His character and his honesty were vilified by the likes of Flush Flemball, an unrepentant junkie. The office of the Senate Minority Leader coordinated the campaign to destroy a 12-year-old boy. And all through this sleaze and slime fest, the Republicans continued to squeal, as they do, being repiglickens, that Graham Frost was fair game because how dare the Democrats bring out a 12-year-old boy to speak the truth about the Children's Health Insurance Program. If, however, you have seen the photograph of Marine Lieutenant Andrew Kennard and you have seen the photograph of George walking away from him to glad hand some other sleazy Republican, turning his back on the lieutenant, having spent his obligatory 2.57 seconds with him, you cannot help but ask how it is that the Republican Party has the stomach to use a maimed Marine for whom they care about as much as a hog cares about a Sunday suit. Don't worry, we won't make any inquiries about that. Don't worry, the Johnny-on-the-spot Washington press corps won't make any inquiries about that of Dana Perineal. They won't make her defend the notion that once again the White House has used a maimed, wounded member of the military as a tool for propaganda purposes. Don't worry, they won't do that. But God forbid a 12-year-old boy should dare to air his opinion of a vitally important program, an insurance program in this country, because then, well, because it's his patriotic duty, Flush Flimball will come out and scream, "Liar! Why did the Democrats put this kid up to this? Why did the Democrats bring him out? He's a liar! This 12-year-old is a liar! He lies! Lying is what he does! He's 12 years old and he's a Democrat, and a 12-year-old Democratic liar! Why was he allowed to live?" But not a word. Not a word about photographs of a phony president trying to bolster his flagging approval ratings by standing next to a young man in a wheelchair with no legs and a bag hanging off of it. Who will never know so much of the goodness of life. And having used him, walking on past him, turning his back on this young Marine officer, to go glad-handing on, continuing to walk away. You know, this ongoing discussion that we keep having about civility. We're civil, we Democrats. Oh, sure, I fulminate a little bit. I fulminate a lot. But for the most part, we're very, very civil. Because, of course, as Democrats, if anybody pointed out that the Bush administration was trying to hump up George Bush's approval ratings on the back of a legless Marine, why, whoever said that in the Congress would probably be browbeaten by either Harry Reid if it was the Senate, or Nancy Pelosi if it was the House of Representatives, until they fell on their knees, put their faces on the floor, and begged forgiveness. Because after all, mentioning that the President of the United States uses wounded soldiers as a lever to try to bolster his sick, sad, pathetic approval ratings, why, that's disrespecting the troops. Tough way to begin a Friday, I know. And that's... Oh, you want to go for outrage? We'll get to outrage. Why don't we just go there now and get it over with? Why don't we just go there now and remember that it was Dianne Feinstein, a senator from California, married to a war profiteer, who last week levered up onto the bench, catapulted onto the bench of the Federal Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, an unrepentant racist by the name of Leslie Southwick, an unrepentant homophobe by the name of Leslie Southwick. So having done that, I guess she was looking for something to do for an encore. And now Dianne Feinstein has found her métier. Dianne Feinstein has announced that she will support the nomination of a man who doesn't know if drowning a person constitutes torture. Dianne Feinstein, with the connivance of Charles Schumer, who is usually reliable in these matters, but has apparently turned turtle on us, because I guess Mukasey is from New York, and being from New York is more important than being, a good American. It's no slam on New York, it's a slam on Schumer. Schumer has muscled up Feinstein so that you've got at least two people who are willing to vote with the Repiglicans to allow Michael Mukasey's nomination to come out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And before you get all worked up and say, well, we'll filibuster him. No, we won't. We're civil people. We're Democrats. We don't do that kind of thing. Why, it wouldn't be according to Hoyle now, wouldn't it? Would it? It wouldn't be cricket. Yeah, this just makes my guts twist. For days, we found out, after questioning, repeated questioning, that Judge Mukasey, who is a bosom buddy of Rudy Giuliani, who is a transition appointment in the Attorney General's office for the Bush administration, doing a little crony log rolling for the Giuliani campaign, Michael Mukasey, as we discussed last night, has somehow found it impossible to determine for his own personal satisfaction whether, when you take a human being, strip him down, you know, at least above the waist, strap him to a board, and tilt that board into what is often, usually, a tub of ice-cold water, and hold them there for a while, and let them up, and let them gasp for air a little bit, and before they get a good lungful, plunge them back in again. You know, lather, rinse, and repeat. Mukasey can't quite decide whether or not that constitutes torture. That astonishes me. I went in just to, you know, and just because I got smart kids, Agnes and I do, and I asked them, and this was just a little personal survey. They hadn't heard the show. They didn't know anything about Mukasey. Bless their little hearts, they don't know a lot about torture, and I hope they never do. But I asked them. I gave them that scenario. If you took a human being and strapped him to a board and repeatedly nearly drowned them, what would you call that? Daddy, I would say that was wrong. Daddy, that would be bad. Yeah, but what kind of word would you call it? And it wasn't, you know, three guesses and two don't count. Immediately, well, that's torture, Dad. dig it. A 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 10-year-old having waterboarding described to them can immediately identify waterboarding as torture. On the other hand, a full-grown adult who has been through grade school, high school, undergraduate school, law school, years and years of age and experience, who is considered an expert in his field, can't quite tell if what my kids can immediately identify as torture is torture. Does that bother you? Does that strike you as odd? Does that tell you that probably Judge Mukasey has stuck his hand in the air and has blithely lied under oath as easily as, you know, he'd rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth? Bless her heart, the woman I first heard use that phrase passed away last week. Dear friend of mine. English lady. Came to this country when she married a West Virginian who was in the military in England. We used to talk about all kinds of stuff. She looked at a fellow one day and said, "You'd rather stand on the ground, you'd rather climb a tree and tell a lie, stand on the ground and tell the truth. You make me sick." How right she was. And I hung on to that phrase because I knew it would come in handy someday, and lo and behold, it has. That's what we have in the Bush administration, an entire cabal of people who would rather go to the trouble of climbing a tree and telling a lie than simply stand on the ground and tell the blessed truth. Merciful God. Merciful God. So, you know, guess what? Get used to the phrase Attorney General Mukasey. Because we don't have anybody in the Democratic Party with the guts to stop him. Dianne Feinstein is a collaborator. All right? Pure and simple, a collaborator. So is Charles Schumer at this point. I don't demand ideological purity. I have no right to. I am not shy of the idea of political disagreements. But there are times when the Constitution of the United States is more important than anything else. There are times when the good opinion of the United States and what little tattered shreds may be left of our reputation are more important than anything else. There are times when if it looks like he might not, you know, it's a close call, it's 51 to 49, it's 49 to 51. When it's that close, you err on the side of caution, and you err on the side of the Constitution of the United States of America, for that document at this point in time rests on far too much bone, gristle, sinew, and blood to do any other thing. Say it a few times just to get used to it in your mouth. Attorney General Mukasey. Attorney General Mukasey. Want to take bets on who votes for Mukasey? I got a pretty good idea who will vote for Mukasey. It'll be all the Republicans and a handful of sickening, spineless, Constitution-despising Democrats. It'll be Akaka. It'll be Feinstein. It'll be Byrd. It'll be Landrieu and Lincoln from the Benedict Arnold side of the House, it'll be Lieberman. It'll be Ben Nelson and Bill Nelson. And that will be enough to forestall a filibuster. And that will be enough to shoehorn Judge Mukasey in on us against our will. And it will be enough looking down the road. Please, actions have consequences. That will be enough as we approach the 2008 elections to make sure that Rudy Giuliani gets a little inside skinny. You know? I mean, yeah. He's Giuliani's pal. That's why he was chosen. So when complaints about voting irregularities happen in the 2008 general election in California or Ohio or Florida or Pennsylvania or New Mexico or Wisconsin or Iowa or Minnesota, Giuliani will have his hand-picked man sitting as the chief law enforcement officer of the entire United States of America, and that hand-picked man can turn a blind eye to election fraud just as he has for the last several days turned a blind eye to something that is so easy to identify that a 10-year-old can figure out its torture. Oh, these things don't just happen. No, no. No, Sunshine, no, they don't just happen. This stuff is planned. This stuff is chess. And meanwhile, Dianne Feinstein is scratching her pointy little head saying, you know, I think the president deserves to have his own appointment for attorney general. I mean, what's wrong with that? And I could sit here and fulminate, and I could sit here and scream, and I could get my voice all hoarse, and I could be frustrated beyond the ends of my own ability to contemplate how much frustration I can take, and nothing would change. And Dianne Feinstein would get up tomorrow, knowing that she was about to stab the United States right through its heart, right through the Constitution. And you know what? She'd feel good about it because she'd look over at her war profiteer husband and say, honey, did the check clear? Yeah, baby, the check cleared. Oh, good. Maybe I can go and put another knife through the Constitution next time it's convenient. What a loathsome woman she is. What a loathsome man at this juncture Charles Schumer is. What's going on here with Schumer? It can't simply be state loyalty. It can't simply be the old buddy network. God, when you rise to the level of the United States Senate... Oh, wait... That's nothing but the old buddy network. I got to do something about this Mr. Smith goes to Washington Jimmy Stewart thing that I got going on in my skull. I got to do something about this idea that I maintain that there is something called honor, that there is something called integrity, that there is something called patriotism, that there is something called decency, that there is something called the Constitution, and that it is worth every last measure of all of our devotion. I got to get over that. I got to stop asking... You know, it's the political equivalent of having that little bracelet on your wrist that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? Only my J stands for Jefferson. What would Jefferson do? And I have got to stop measuring senators and members of the House of Representatives in the year 2007 by the lofty standards established by Jefferson, by Madison, by Franklin, by Adams, by John Marshall and John Jay, by Washington and Burr and Hamilton. Because we are living in a political age of the winnowing of the souls. And there are no Jeffersons. And there are no Franklins. And there are no Adams. There are no Henry Clays. There are no Daniel Websters. There are no John C. Calhouns. There is no greatness left in the United States Senate. It is a hollow shell and a caricature of itself. I got to stop thinking in terms of all of that high-toned, high-minded, highfalutin, patriotic, inspiring stuff that they handed me as a little boy. You know, if you talk to a psychologist every now and then, some of those pop psychologist types will say, well, you know, you've got to get in touch with your inner child. I think that's my problem. I'm far too well in touch with my inner child, and my inner child took all that honor, all that patriotism stuff, deadly in earnest, and believed it all the way to the core of my being, and I have held on to it and held on to it and held on to it at my peril, at my hazard, and even in the face of evidence directly to the contrary. And now we're going to get another thug. It's a judge here, a Supreme Court justice there, a general here, an attorney general there, and twilight slides slowly into darkness in the first decade of the 21st century in America. That's the thing, you know, you get to the end of the day and there's that one last moment. Photographers love it for the golden light, and it lasts only minutes. And it looks like the most beautiful day in the world, ever. And then a matter of minutes later, it's gone, and it is pitch black dark outside. We are in that twilight of the American Republic. You and I, standing in the dark, looking at the golden light shimmering off the buildings where once was seated a deliberative body, a House, a Senate, a Supreme Court, a Chief Executive, that were directly beholden to the people of the United States, and bathed in that glimmering light at the end of day, it looks divine. But night is falling. Night is falling in Washington, D.C. and all across the United States of America. Night. Night is falling. And it becomes darker with every treasonous vote. Not treason against me. Not treason against you. Treason against the Constitution of the United States of America and all the men and women who have bled and died to see it continue, yea, verily unto this day. That is the treason. Every treasonous vote by a Feinstein, a Byrd, and a Kaka, a Landrieu, a Lincoln, Pryor, a Nelson. Every time they vote to put one of these lawless thugs into office and cloak them with the imprimatur of authority, the Constitution dies a little bit more, and it gets a little bit closer to pitch dark in America. You remember that stupid Ronald Reagan commercial from years gone by?
Well, it's morning in America.
Well, I think we can finally have done with that fraud. It's not morning in America anymore. This is America with the sun having set and sending the last few rays of light before the onset of total darkness. And you and I, we have drawn the short straw. We get to watch it happen. We get to see the full dark come. Lucky you. Lucky me. It's about 3 minutes before the hour. It's Front Porch Friday. You are welcome to join in the conversation if you so desire. You know the number. On your nickel, 304-658-5453. On ours, 877-443-2366. Am I wrong? Tell me if I am. Tell me I'm just being a pessimist. Tell me it's just another vote. Tell me there's no difference between a vote for the dams, bridges, and culverts and a vote for a man who doesn't know whether or not damn near killing another human being is torture. I'd really like to be wrong here, and I'd like it if you could prove it to me. I welcome you to give it a try. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. Listener-supported independent media of the first order. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And money that get me out of this. Ha! I'm the innocent bystander. Somehow I got stuck in a hard place, and I'm down on my luck. Yes, I'm down on my luck. Well, I'm down on my luck. I'm hiding in Honduras. I'm a desperate man. And lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan.
This is the Quality News Network. Torrential rains in the low-lying Gulf state of Tabasco, Mexico, causing the worst flooding in 50 years. Thousands of residents are waiting for rescue, with 70% of the state underwater. Authorities are also worried about the possible outbreak of disease such as cholera. President Bush vetoed a multi-billion dollar legislation that would have authorized hundreds of water projects across the U.S. The bill included funding for the restoration of wetlands, flood prevention, and hurricane damage repair. Congressional Democrats say there may be enough votes to override the presidential veto. Mr. Bush warning congressional Democrats that if his nominee for attorney general is not confirmed, then there may be no replacement nominee during his remaining term in office. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Patrick Leahy, said today that he will not vote for Michael Mukasey because he failed to give his legal opinion on the issue of waterboarding as torture. However, Senators Dianne Feinstein and Charles Schumer both say they will vote in Mukasey's favor. Near Phoenix, the largest nuclear plant in the U.S. under lockdown this hour after a worker was stopped at the plant's entrance earlier today. Authorities discovered a small explosive device inside his pickup. An Israeli official says Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert wants a peace deal with the Palestinians before President Bush's term ends. Olmert stopped short of saying such a deal could be reached. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and other top White House foreign advisors will be forced to testify about their conversations with pro-Israel lobbyists. That's a federal judge's ruling today. If Rice and the other officials do ultimately testify, it could provide a behind-the-scenes look at how foreign policy is crafted. Rice met with Turkish officials today in Ankara, Turkey, assuring them that the Kurdish rebels are a common threat to both countries. Rice pledged to help Turkey in its fight against them. In Miami, the prosecution has rested in the trial against seven suspects accused of plotting to blow up Chicago's Sears Tower. The defense begins its case on Monday. And Mexican drug enforcement officials say they've made one of the largest cocaine busts in history. Agents found 23.5 tons of cocaine on a Colombian cargo ship. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Daylight savings time ends on Sunday at 2 a.m. Clocks should be set back 1 hour. Michigan's governor asking for a man-made solution to a near-record lack of water in Great Lakes Huron and Michigan. Both the U.S. and Canadian federal governments would have to mutually agree on any proposal. The U.S. Air Force delivered Alaska's only elephant to her new California home last night. Alaskans raised money to allow the 25-year-old African elephant to retire from zoo life in a warmer climate, surrounded by others of her species. TV and film writers will call a strike today for the first time in 20 years. At issue is residual payments for work aired on pay-per-view and DVDs. The Federal Reserve injecting $41 billion into the nation's financial system. It is the most significant cash infusion since 9/11. And Verizon Communications has become the first major U.S. company to permit its shareholders to vote on executive salaries. Light sweet crude oil trading at $95.93 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold trading at $808.50 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average holding steady, up 27 points at 13,595. NASDAQ up 16 points. The S&P 500 up 1 point. And there's always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
right, I cooled off a little bit. Had me a little swig of some great Kool-Aid. Man, that's living. Things keep going like this. I'm going to be into the Foster's oil can before the second hour's out, though, I promise. Nah, I'm kidding. No impaired radio here. If you want impaired radio, go listen to The Oxymoron. If you want impaired radio, go listen to some right-wing nutcase. Too sober for our own good here. No promises about what happens long about midnight when I'm done producing, though. Miller time comes a little late around here, but it does find its way here. Sort of like, Miller time. Don't know much about mills, don't know much about time, but I do know when it's Miller time. And that's going to come about 12:01. Some good football on tomorrow, too. Let's see who's on the phone here. One never knows. Hey, who have I got?
You got North Dakota.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm still staying alive.
Every day above the ground's a good one.
Every day above the ground's good. Yeah, that's true. But, these days are getting short.
That they are. It's already plumb dark outside for me, and I'm further south than you are.
Well, we're a little bit north of you, and it's getting close, but sun's going down.
And metaphorically speaking as well, of course.
Yeah, sun's going down, not metaphorically. Absolutely, Bob. It's sundown, and either we're going to end up in the dark with the light, or we're going to do something. I don't know what, but we must do something. I'm not certain how we start doing it, but you're at least a candle in the darkness. At least you're that sound, and it sounds like you're trying to take that away too.
Well, no, I mean, we're doing fine right here, Bob. It's a little tough. It seems like it's a day in and day out assault. You know, we sat and we waited and we ached and we yearned and we busted our asses and we gave money out of our pockets to create a Democratic majority in the Congress of the United States, and the little sons of bitches won't be Democrats.
Ah, that is the truth. Is that not the truth? We bled for them. We have sent our sons and daughters to die for them, and they don't even recognize them when they come home. And now I heard that that long, oh my God, and excruciatingly painful description that you gave earlier in the show of the young Marine lieutenant, and it just ate my guts, and I'm sick to death of it, Bob. I'm sick to death of watching these boys come home in bags and rags and in tags, and everybody sitting around, and this monkey, this little punk in the White House, standing up there and using them as props while they attack a little 12-year-old boy that survived a horrible, horrible accident. I'm sick to death of them, Bob. I cannot tell you how tired I am from facing these, I don't know, what would you call them? Give me a word, please.
No, because I'm fresh out. I really am, Bob. I'm plumb licked, and I am fresh out of I'm running out of descriptive phrases because that young man in that photograph, Bob, you know, he's got his dress blues on. He will be a Marine until the day he breathes out and doesn't breathe in again.
I know that, because that's the way I am.
And so when the White House called him and said, the president wants to be photographed with you, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
He puts him on and goes out there and struts his stuff, even though he has nothing to strut with.
And gets used. And I don't blame him, because he's a Marine. He'd follow his commander-in-chief into hell.
If he had a commander-in-chief, Bob. He doesn't have a commander-in-chief. He doesn't have a George Washington. He has a George Bush. And there's a big big difference. There's a big difference. He doesn't have a man sitting on a white horse. He's got a man sitting in a White House that's afraid of horses. Let's face it. He's afraid of cows. He ain't no cowboy. He's just a boy. Period. And, you know, hey, oh, Darius, come on. My German Shepherd puppy, whenever I say boy.
He's well trained, Bob. He's well trained.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Bob, it's sad that we have a nation that have few warriors. I mean, that young Marine, he went away as a warrior, and he came back as a trophy for George Bush. He's just a trophy, something for George Bush to be photographed with, and that's the truth. There's no honor in that. There is no valor in that. There is no, what is that, esprit de corps into it. No love of country into it. It is being used just like, excuse my language, but it's like being used like a condom and tossed aside. Same difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, Bob.
And it is sad.
And, you know, and please understand, this is going to go on. It's going to go on and on and on. It's going to be soldiers returned from Iraq running on new... You know, you've seen the photos probably of George Bush going running with the veteran with no legs, running on those prosthetic limbs.
Yes. And, Bob, I am... Okay. I'm just trying to hold on to my sanity right now, because if I go in, I'm going to take somebody with me. You know, what was that show we watched back a few years ago? What was that? Not Poltergeist. It was the other one. That one with the... oh, goodness gracious. It was a comedy, and it had some peeps in there, and they had moved into this house where these people had died. And I'm trying to think of this show. It was...
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, that's the one. She says, you know, if I can't make this house over, I'm going to go insane, and I'm going to take you with me, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at. I'm like in that little library. Well, can I keep this one room for myself, you know, this little piece of sand for myself, while you take the rest of the house, the rest of the world, and just make it crazy? Well, that's what George Bush has done. So if I can't take this Iraq, and you know, then I'm going to take the rest of the world, and I'm going to go crazy. You know, well, can I please keep just United States of America as a country of the people, by the people, for the people? And guess what? No, you can't even keep that. Not under George W. Bush.
Nope.
No, we have to find our backbone, Bob. I'm sorry, but we got to find our backbone. I mean, I love the people of Denver. I love them desperately.
Well, what drives me crazy, Bob, is it's not a question of our backbone. We showed all the backbone in the world when we created a Democratic majority in the Senate and the House.
We did that, but
I mean, there were people. Who went? There were people who donated to political campaigns. They went without hamburger and had beans. Maybe they went without beans. They didn't go to the movies. They didn't. They waited. They waited a month to put new tires on the car so they could send $100 for so and so's campaign, because we had been promised, Bob. We had been promised by God that they were going to get in there and they were going to kick ass and take names.
I know that, but Bob, you got to remember something I told you way back when. Byron Dorgan, Kent Conrad, and Earl Pomeroy are Democrats in name only. Call them Dinos or Dinos or whatever you want to call them. They're Democrats in name only. They are Republican light or Republican right wing, but they're the same thing. The same thing. They're the same. There's no difference between the repute and the Repugs and Republicans and all those names we call them, than there is between Byron Dorgan, Kent Conrad, and Earl act as Republicans and they vote as Republicans. Let's face it, we got a whole lot of Republicans that have infiltrated the Democrat Party. Oh, Democrat Party. I'm saying that just like George Bush. It's the Democratic Party of the United States of America, and by God, I am proud to be a Democrat, and I am a member of the Democratic Party, and we believe in democracy of and by and for the people. And that's the truth of it. Now, if anybody wants to doubt that these people are Republicans, just look at their voting record of the recent past, or go back a little further and find out who they really are and what they really do. By their deeds, they shall be known. And that's the truth. It's not a lie. It's not some fabrication of some drunk old gunnery sergeant sitting in the middle of North Dakota or just about into Montana that says, I do not see these people as true Democrats. There are no John F. Kennedy there. There are no Martin Luther King there. There are no true men of the people. They are Republicans, and they're there for themselves and no one else. Truth.
Truth.
But, hey, it was a wonderful, wonderful Halloween party. Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to just put things aside, and I got a funny little story maybe for later this evening about Agnes and me.
Well,
I just got to make sure she's out of the room, or I'll be sleeping outside tonight if she finds out I told her.
Oh, don't worry about it, Bob. She'd never take you out of bed. She'd have to, you know, kind of put the, you know, hound dog warmer up then, so you know, hound dog probably smells worse than you do.
I don't know. It might be a little bit of a competition.
Oh, goodness gracious. Not with, hey, that girl, she is, what do you call her, Ellie Mae?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm waiting on the lion. I really
she
am.
She knows that you're the only animal that she really loves. I know that. I've heard it in her voice. Them other animals are just playthings. They're just puppies and kittens and mountain lions and stuff like that that she just kind of pets them and, you know, sends them on away and mends their little, you know, sore feet and stuff. But that's the truth, Bob. It is. And, hey, I hope you get this here, you know, the front porch Friday going.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it all depends. I mean, it just depends on what people want. You know, I'd love to. If it goes, it goes. Or if I have to sit here and filibobster for another hour and 45 minutes, that's okay, too, because I'm, you know, God knows I'm capable of it.
I know that. Hey, son, you did a wonderful job for the first hour, and I thought, goodness gracious, somebody ought to call this guy up and give him hell. Or at least
or just let me catch my breath, for the love of God.
Yeah, well, okay, all right. Well, do you want me to take a... Okay, I'll become a Republican for a moment.
No, don't. No. My poor little head would split like an overripe pumpkin. Don't do that to me, Bob.
Oh, I almost puked. I'm sorry. I just said that. It was just kind of it popped out of my head. You know, kind of like the monster from the head on the planet Zod or something. it was an ugly thought that just kind of... It almost thrust itself into the body politic for a moment.
Ew. Just ew. Hey, Bob, it's good to talk to you. You have a great weekend, all right?
And to you, my friend, too. And to all of those that believe in this nation, just stand up and do whatever you can. If it's to take your walker and kind of trip that, you know, that guard that's standing there with his Uzi, you know, it kind of... Whoops, I just tripped him and he fell down and shot himself.
That's a good trick.
You know, that that guy from, what was it, Blackwater or Pinkwater? What? Hey, it could be. No, it wouldn't, because that wouldn't be. Because, you know, if it was like the gals from Gold Pink,
yeah.
If you tripped one of them, you know, it would be like desecrating.
Well, you know, I mean, we heard the story, I guess it was Halloween night, and what a spooky story it was. Our good friend Kathy down in Florida having to walk with the gathering of Eagles right-wing thugs. Yeah. And they were, and the you know, there's that gathering of eagles, Bob, and they're scared to death of our pal Kathy. Yeah. I gotta love it. You know that
little gal with a little pink umbrella. No, I won't even get in.
No, I'll stand here and get drenched.
You know, hey Bob, that's like the old story. He ain't smart enough to come into the umbrella under the rain, out of the rain. You know what I mean?
That's them. Yep. And you know, rather drench a candle, rather curse a darkness and drench a candle than stand in the light. Yeah, that's them. That's them. Bob, take it easy, my friend. Have a great weekend. And say hi to Glenda for us, okay?
Oh, we will do that in space. And love to you and yourn.
All right, you take care now.
Okay, bye bye.
Later. Our good pal Gunny Bob out in the wilds of North Dakota and darn near Montana. You know what? I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to take. I'm going to take a little break and play an ad or two. And, you know, I need to remind you of something because you might see it up there on the website, on the banner there at the top, the CityNet ad that runs there every time you log on to headonradionetwork.com. But I don't say enough good about these people. I don't say, and I don't give these people enough of their due. If you remember back when we had previous internet connections, we'd have to put up these little notices or have somebody else say in another show, well, you know, they're down again. The internet crapped out. They're down again. Verizon let Lightning get through the lines and their telephone hybrid is fried again. Another, you know, $750 repair bill. We'd have to do that from time to time. You know what? Since we came on board with the fine folks at CityNet, that's all gone away. And I can't, if you want an unlimited long distance, unlimited dialing, the VOIP internet phone service, and you are within their service area, you can't beat the bargain that is CityNet's telephone service. If you're like us and you need something like a T1 line or more, and you're in their service area, you're not going to beat that either. And if you should happen to have a problem, you pick up the phone, you dial. There they are. And it's not, and you don't have that sort of two tomato cans and a string sound that you get when you know that you're dialing all the way around the planet or halfway around the planet. You're dialing West Virginia. Go look at citynet.net. Look at their service area. Sign on with them. Do business with them. They've got if you're on dial-up and you're in their area, they got a great dial-up service. And when you sign up, tell them that you heard about them here. And you're going to be very, very happy with them. You certainly, certainly are. So we'll take a break and we'll come back. A lot of stuff out there. Whatever you want to bring to the table, you are, of course, welcome to bring to the table. You can drive this bus as well as I can. You know the phone number, 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email rolls into Bob at headonradio.com. See how easy we make it? And if you've never been to the headonradionetwork.com chat room, well, you just haven't had any fun yet. We'll be back on America's Liberal Voice, America's independent, listener-supported liberal voice. The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Psycho killer.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. There was Bush again at the Heritage Foundation on Thursday, one of his favorite perches. He acknowledged that the right-wingers at the foundation are, in his words, shaping policy in Washington, as if we didn't know that already, and he thanked them for that. Then he launched into another recital of the lessons of 9/11, the only sheet music he knows how to read. He did so to persuade senators to confirm Michael Mukasey as Attorney General. Said Bush, "The job of the Attorney General is essential to the security of America. If the senators don't approve Mukasey," Bush said, "that would guarantee that America would have no Attorney General during this time of war." Thus does Bush use 9/11 to try to get anything he wants, even an attorney general who believes the president is above the law, even an attorney general who refuses to acknowledge that waterboarding is torture. Now, more than 6 years after 9/11, the Senate can't keep falling for this ploy, especially when it comes to the nation's leading law enforcement officer. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey. Thanks for lending an ear.
All right, we're back. I took a couple of extra minutes there. I apologize, just to sort of get my wits about me, because I'm reading something here right now that is, oh, Jesus, chilling? Chilling? You guys are so far ahead of the curve, you've probably already seen this. From the Jerusalem Post. I mean, you know, we're not talking about the Onion here. We're not talking about a right-wing rag like the Washington Post or the New York Times. The Jerusalem Post is reporting, and I'm just going to read it to you. The September, because, you know, this has been shrouded in mystery all along. And maybe some of the answers are coming out now. And if this is indeed the answer, and we don't do something about this, well, then let's just put a fork in it, turn us over, and say we're done. The September 6th, my stomach is sick reading this. The September 6th raid over Syria was carried out by the United States Air Force, the Al Jazeera website reported today. Jesus, I want this not to be true. The website quoted Israeli and Arab sources as saying that two U.S. jets armed with tactical nuclear weapons carried out an attack on a suspected nuclear site under construction in Syria. The sources were quoted as saying that Israeli F-15 and F-16 jets provided cover for the U.S. planes. I'm dizzy right now. The sources added that each U.S. plane carried one tactical nuclear weapon and that the site was hit by one bomb and totally destroyed. At the beginning of October, Israel's military censor began to allow the local media to report on the raid without attributing their report to foreign sources. Nevertheless, details of the strike have remained clouded in mystery. On October 28th, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told the cabinet that he had apologized to Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan if Israel violated Turkish airspace during a strike on an alleged nuclear facility in Syria last month. In a carefully worded statement that was given to reporters after the cabinet meeting, Olmert said, quote, "In my conversation with the Turkish Prime Minister, I told him that if Israeli planes indeed penetrated Turkish airspace, then there was no intention thereby, either in advance or in any case, to in any way violate or undermine Turkish sovereignty, which we respect." The New York Times reported on October 13th that Israeli planes struck at what U.S. and Israeli intelligence believed was a partly constructed nuclear reactor in Syria on September 6th, citing American and foreign officials who had seen the relevant intelligence reports. According to the report, Israel carried out the report to send a message that it, the attack to send a message that it would not tolerate even a nuclear program in its initial stages of construction in any neighboring state. On October 17th, Syria denied that one of its representatives to the United Nations told a panel that an Israeli airstrike hit a Syrian nuclear facility and added that, quote, "such facilities do not exist in Syria." A UN document released by the press office had provided an account of a meeting of the First Committee, Disarmament and International Security in New York, and paraphrased an unnamed Syrian representative as saying that a nuclear facility was hit by the raid. However, the state-run Syrian Arab news agency, Sana, said media reports apparently based on a UN press release misquoted the Syrian diplomat. Have we done it? Did we get away with it? Has that little madman in Washington, D.C. used a tactical nuclear device against Syria? Again, this is Al Jazeera. They get a lot right. Israeli and Arab sources say that two U.S. jets armed with tactical nuclear weapons carried out an attack on a suspected nuclear site under construction. I feel like someone is standing on my chest. Of course, this dovetails, at least in my mind, with the story of the mistake, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, mistake that we made when we flew two nuclear-tipped cruise missiles from Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. And there has been a dutiful purge of people allegedly involved with that error. I wish I had more information for you. Truly, I do. All I know is what I read there. Ask yourself a question for a moment. Would George Bush hesitate for an instant to use a nuclear device on brown people? Would he? How could this possibly have happened, and there's no reportage of radiation?
Well, it was just a little one, Bob. And it went way deep, so there wasn't a mushroom cloud or nothing.
Do words like that do to you what they're doing to me right now? I feel like my head is on fire. I feel like there's somebody inside my head with little spikes just banging on the inside of my forehead, and it's going to crack open at any minute. Link. Let me see. Dadgummit, where'd it go? There it is. Link. Mideast.jpost.com. I'll put it in the chat room. Maybe one of y'all can put it up on the web page or something. Sorry, this just, I guess I'm not a lot of fun right now. I don't know, I don't know enough about tactical nuclear weapons. I don't know enough about, you know, massive ordnance penetrators. I don't know what the mushroom cloud looks like if the thing has been designed to bury itself 300 feet in the sand and the dirt and the rock. I don't know why the Syrians wouldn't say, you know, the little bastard just nuked us. Where is it possible to use a nuclear device and not have it show up on a Richter scale or a Geiger counter somewhere? I'm being told in the chat room now that we flew six nukes to Barksdale and we got five back. Let's go to the phones and see what's going on. Hey, who've I got?
Kate.
Hey, Kate.
Are we on the air?
We are.
Okay. Excuse me, I didn't realize that.
That's okay.
I need
to turn the little speakers down, please.
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Respect our 7-second delay. I wish I would have. I started hearing this news back in Montana sometime, I don't know when, September or something, in the parking lot of Walmart one night on shortwave. And, Rumsfeld is still in charge, and he's pulling the strings, and there was a bombing, and I don't know. I bet if somebody went in and did some research on the USGS pages, there would be some kind of seismic activity. And I think that was about the same time that there was a big run on some banks of the UK. I mean, major, they had to, you know, the mob, people just mobbed the banks, and it was pretty pathetic. And also, I have heard from more than one source that 7 out of the 10 people who were involved with security and flight line and that sort of thing with that B-52 incident are dead.
Jeez.
7 out of 10.
Well, you know, ever since this happened, I mean, there was a mention of the raid on Syria, and then right off the news, nothing.
Right.
Now the next question I have to ask, Kate, and see, this is the thing. It's so down the rabbit hole, it makes me feel like I'm losing my freaking mind.
Yeah.
Is that would we provide cover? Would we provide cover for the Israelis? Because if it had been the Israelis who dropped one of their nukes on Syria, you know, game on.
Right.
Syria, on the other hand, I guess can't admit that they had some sort of a nuclear program cooking. I don't know.
I don't know that much about the details. This stuff is coming in so fast that it just blows my mind. It just kind of lays on the top of my brain and just kind of rots there. Like David, our Tennessee David says, it's all wrestling. What's going on in Congress just has so little to do with what's going on in the world, really. I mean, our little piddly constitution and our little piddly rights, and it's so inconsequential compared to what's going on around the planet globally. Chase Manhattan and David Rockefeller they're doing the most of their business in Russia.
Kate, I'm pretty unflappable.
Yeah, I know.
And I'll be honest, I'm about a curly little hair on a gnat's ass from closing the mic, playing the music, and just going and sitting with my children.
Yeah, I know. I was going to type that in the chat room a few minutes ago. Bob, just go hug the baby. It's almost as if there's nothing we can do about it because it's gotten so big. It's the people behind the curtain. It's the pioneer group, those 200 people who are the old Negroponte, Rumsfeld, all those old creeps that I don't even know what they look like, but they're all in charge, and they're just doing it, and they got to reduce the population, and we're doing the genocide, and they're letting Mexico drown, and they're letting New Orleans and Gulf Coast rot, and Darfur is,
everything seems trivial right now, forgive me, Kate, but,
yeah.
You know, that little bastard vetoed a bill that included infrastructure funds for the Gulf Coast. And I'm not,
yeah.
You know, maybe that was, and maybe it was part of that big expansion of the shipyard or the port facilities there that we talked about a week or so ago.
It is, yeah.
Maybe that's in there, but you know, there's other stuff in there that needs to be done too, and that rotten little SOB vetoed it.
Yeah. Well, he is just Ronald McDonald in clown pajamas. They picked him out. Every president every world leader since Wilson has been chosen by these people. And whoever's going to be on the ticket to run for president, that doesn't even matter because the president, the leader of this country, has already been chosen. It's just becoming so obvious. And it's just like they can't get away with it anymore. They can't even hide it. It's just right in our face. and there's nothing, almost like nothing we can do about it because it's a foregone conclusion. Whoever they want is going to be in.
How the hell do we find out whether this is true or not? I mean, like I said, the Jerusalem Post doesn't, you know, it's not like, you know, U.S. nukes Syria is next to a story that says Robin the Bat Boy stalking Jenna Bush.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. I read international newspapers and I listen to shortwave and I listen to people late night talk who would otherwise be called idiots and fools and you know, and then all of a sudden about 2 months, what is it? It's been about 6 weeks now. However long it was since that B-52 incident, I mean. The people who were talking about that and saying it's there's more to this than meets the eye, they were all called out as idiots, and now it's coming out. And I didn't hear that what you cited that was from that from the Times or Al Jazeera.
The story. Tonight, it's the Jerusalem Post reporting on a posting at the Al Jazeera website, citing Israeli and Arab officials.
Yeah, so now it's starting to come out, and we're going, oh, my God. But when people started talking about it 6 or 8 weeks ago, you're crazy, you're just a conspiracy theorist, and you know. So I just hardly don't say anything, but I was really surprised to hear you so upset about this. I wish I'd have called 5 weeks ago and said, oh, you know what, at least got you primed, so you could at least say, oh, Kate, oh, God, there you go again. Oh, Cassandra's at it again. It wouldn't have been such a surprise tonight, but I don't know, they're behind, and Cheney has to have whoever's he's got control of, they've got to do Iran, and they've got to get control of the Middle East, because if they don't, the pioneer group is 200, the group of 200, they stand to lose billions and billions and billions of hours to get into White House to say, you know, and does something about the insurgency we're participating in. So it's they've got to have the control, so, and they're going to get it. And I don't know. We just I have no answers. I just have dots to connect, and when I do, people laugh at me and say you're foolish, and I just smile and say, well, we'll see. But the fact that 7 out of 10 of the people who were involved in the whistleblowing on the B-52s are dead, I don't know, whatever.
And this stuff is so damn difficult to track down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like that. It's like the Gordian knot place to start. If you just took your saber and just whack the whole thing in two and see what's on the inside, be surprised. I don't know. It's just grim, and that's why I just kind of just open my hands and say, well, whatever, just make every day good enough to die. Go to bed at night and say, was this a good enough day to die? And if I can say hell yeah, then it's been a good day, and there's nothing else I can do. So, whatever.
I don't know if I'll get an. I don't know if I'll get an answer. I'm sure you hear me clacking away in the background. I'm not in any way ignoring or anything that you're saying, but I'm trying to get multiple things done at one time. When I chatted with Scott Ritter a week ago. He was kind enough to give me what I presume to have been his real, live, honest-to-Jesus email address.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anyone better.
No. And he said a few things that made me think, Scotty, whose pocket are you in? I don't think that's entirely the whole picture. I can't even cite a quote or even a phrase that he said, but there were a few things in his pitch that made me flinch, and I thought, and same way with Clinton's huge response, the inside job remark, how dare you? That was way, way too big of a response for somebody who's not, because I think he's been to, I think he's part of the Bilderberger group, and he's been at more than one of those Bohemian Grove gatherings, and that's one of the reasons his response was so big and so he fulminated. Is that right?
Yep. There's that word.
I love that word. You know, that's a combination of compounds that are volatile.
Yes.
In chemistry.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, before I fulminate any further, and keep on looking for the attribution or whatever, and I hope you get a response back from Scott. I'd be curious to see what it is. If he denies everything, then suspect too. You just can't believe everything you hear.
Well, I've got a pretty good idea just based on what little education I have. We know how a nuclear blast behaves above ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we know that, for instance, when the French lose their minds, as they periodically do, and decide to nuke Polynesia again, and they do one of those underground, under-the-water nuke tests...
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all know it.
Right. Right. Well, that's what I said. I think because there's so much seismic activity in the Middle East. Every time I see, like when BAM in Iran went down, it totally flattened. He totally flattened that city in 98, 99. There was some evidence that was probably a result of some nuclear activity on the planet somewhere, either directly across the globe from Iran or right in the area. I don't know. But if I knew what the exact dates were, I could go back and search the USGS or the Red Puma. There are a lot of sites, earthquake sites, to show. But then they take those down, too. They minimize the size of the earthquake, the magnitude of the earthquakes, too. So you can't even believe that anymore. But a lot of times that's a good indicator that, there was some seismic activity in the morning of September 11th, 01, too, in New York. So,
well, you know, big things falling down and big things going boom register on Richter scales just like an earthquake does. I mean, the Crandall Canyon mine.
Before the buildings came down, Bob, but we won't even go there. Someday people will quit laughing at me when I say that. So, anyway, you go back to your the porch. I'm sorry, you know, we're bleeding all over the porch tonight. That's okay, I guess. It's November, and the blood won't smell very bad in the morning, huh?
Yeah, because it's nice and cool.
What I mean, this is time for butchering hogs, Bob.
Yeah. What did Hunter S. Thompson say once upon a time? He said the hogs are in the tunnel, and they will travel on a road of bones.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's bones everywhere. That's the crunching you hear when you walk. I thought it was my arthritis. It's bones I'm stepping on. I'm
going to
go let somebody else call.
All right. Kate, take care, dear.
You too. Y'all have a good weekend, everybody.
You know,
I'd still like to hear from Robert in Japan and David in Tennessee and maybe our trucker friend and, you know, I mean, some folks are out there who haven't called in, so I'm taking up all the time. So I'm out of here. Ciao for now.
All right, later. Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Bye.
Kate knows how crazy it makes me when I hear thanks for taking my call. You know, because what I do here, when you bother to call me, it's my honor, not yours, okay? I mean, so that's the thanks for taking my call. Little sort of... inside joke. Now we'll get through this night, but it got significantly weirder. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know the science on it. If somebody knows the science and can straighten and can help me along the way, God knows I'd appreciate it. Because I don't know how. I mean, is this just some and when you see unsourced stuff that doesn't say anything more than, well, you know, Israeli and Arab sources. You know, that could be a drunk Arab and a drunk Israeli. One in one bar and one in another. Hey, did we nuke Syria? Oh, yes. And you don't know what to make of it. But we're down the rabbit hole, left is right, and the Mad Hatter's leading the Tea Party with his little tag that says 6 7/8 on the outside of his hat. Everything's upside down. Everything is insane. And it's not that I want to believe the worst or that I do believe the worst, but, you know, do I believe that George Bush is capable of saying, let's use one of those. They'll never catch us. Does all this business between North Dakota and Louisiana just scare the bejesus out of me? Yeah. You think anybody will even raise this on the floor of the Senate or the floor of the House? Oh, no, their gravitas might be impacted. Oh, you're just reading it out of the tabloids. What'd you get out of it? Where'd you get that? The Inquirer? Yeah, I guess it's not really breaking news. It's been out there a while, but it was breaking to me, and it just scares the piss out of me. And we'll go to the news in a minute, and I'm going to try to pull it together and make some sense of the rest of the next hour of the show. But I ain't making any promises. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, who have I got?
Oh, hello there.
Oh, well, you were conjured.
He can, as you love to say, he can be taught, he can be summoned. Careful what you wish for. Oh, but wait a second, I had a different opening. Hi, Bob. I'm a Bobaholic. Thanks for taking my call. Many time, long time. Don't, you laughed over my dead air.
Don't ever do that again.
strategic, tactical. Let's talk.
Do let's.
Tactical nukes. If you have a weapon and it's tactical, it means you can use it in close proximity to yours. For decades, the point of the exercise with an Atomos or a nuclear bomb was to make it so damn big there would be nothing left standing 25 miles in all directions of ground zero. So, that's background point. If you have a tactical, you start for overall power at between 5 and 8% of a typical major blast nuclear weapon. So they, in comparison to the really big ones, the ones that come out of 52s, you know, a single B-52 carrying a single weapon, you're talking about 5 to 8% of one of those. And if it were some sort of mechanism, some sort of process that would allow it to burrow to take out something underground, with all the activity that's going on in that part of the world, it could potentially be lost in the shuffle. So that's even scarier. If it's underground and it's small by definition, you know, 1/20th the size of, you know, the old joke about let's drop the big one. Well, no, this is the little one. But it's incredibly powerful for its size. But still, it might allow for a masking process.
And you can get, Jesus, the idea, you can get away with it.
And if it were underground, you don't have to worry about some goat farmer in Israel suddenly realizing that the milk was glowing at 3 o'clock in the morning. So they may be able to get by with it from that standpoint, too. You don't have to worry about Chernobyl-type clouds making, you know, the Inuit in Alaska.
Okay, so
on and off at midnight.
Okay, so let's walk through this real quick, David. Syria has an illicit construction project going on.
Okay.
Apparently it was being built by the North Koreans, if we are to believe the news that's out
there. All right. That's a strike right there.
Somebody strikes at them. Syria, what's to prevent... It's a nuke plant. It's not a nuke bomb, okay? It was obviously in the construction phases. What's to prevent Syria from saying, yeah, we're working on civilian nuclear power like everybody else, and they just nuked our construction project? Why wouldn't Syria say that? Is Syria generous enough to not want to start World War III?
I don't quite understand where you're headed with that, but the thing that would cause me to think that Syria would keep that quiet...
Well, it's hard for me to fathom getting nuked and just as a knee-jerk reaction going, holy crap, we've been nuked!
Unless, in an effort to play chess against the chimp, they were establishing relationships with somebody somewhere that had enough throw weight to say, you know what, I've had it. This is the last time. If I scream my head off as an Arab nation with a little bit of scat on my skirt, the rest of the world may laugh us off. But if I get Pakistan on the phone and we deal just right and I do this and I get a third party to lever some dough, what do you think? Let's just keep it completely quiet. Don't get mad. Get even. And they're putting together something that will really cause us to go, oops.
See, what I hate about all of this is all the what if.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I've just thrown out a rather...
Well, no, I mean, I'm not bitching at you. I'm
over the top theory on my part, but I don't think you can laugh it off.
No, I mean, I can sit here and say, what if they put that one out there all dummied up real big, sort of like Winston Churchill's rubber airplanes and cardboard tanks in World War II, and we bombed the thing, and, you know, meanwhile, they continue to work on the one that actually matters.
Okay, that's equally as valid. I would never say, nope, that's not possible. It's genuinely scary because as you were reading that piece, I was staring at my little screen with my my Windows NT. Well, it kind of looks like an impressionist painting of a window open with curtains blowing, and I'm staring at that thing going, please God, Bob, say that they kept the nukes on board and they went after them with a 4,000-pound bunker buster. Come on, Bob. Don't say they dropped the one that makes things glow in the night. But you didn't do that.
No, I didn't.
So I had a...
Now, the next question I have is, Israel is said to have between 200 and 400 nuclear devices. The nature of the geography in that region being what it is, would they be more likely to have tacticals or strategics? Because, you know, you use the big one, everybody dies.
I think they have if I were making a guess, you threw out the number 200. Let's play with that. Let's just, for the sake of discussion...
195 little ones and 5 big ones.
No, I would say 20 big ones and 180 tactical would be my guess. Because if it really gets interesting, they want more than 5 cracks at every Arab capital that would indeed, finally, after just talking about it, maybe get serious about pushing them into the ocean.
And while Israel can fly over Asarak in 1980-whatever in Iraq and bomb that nuclear facility... If a tactical was used, they would have to have the cover of the United States.
Oh, exactly. And at first, when you were reading that, I was thinking, well, what the hell is that about? Why would we, why would it be us? Why wouldn't we just encourage our little mini-me over there to do it? And then it dawned on me, the Israelis could, behind closed doors, say, hey, look, Big Uncle Sam forced us to just, cover their wing, you know, go as strategic cover for them. It's their mission. They forced us into it. You know, we still want to talk about it.
Well, and that's so much of it. Listen, I'm not necessarily taking this as true. I'm just scared to death that it is. That's another thing that doesn't make any sense. Why, if we're sending the bombers in with the hot loads, why do the Israelis have to fly cover?
We want to get them involved. We want to keep them on board. We want to keep them sucked into what's going on. It could finally be one of those times when Bush et al. Say to them, look, fella, popping your ass up, and we have been for decades, we want you on board with us in this in some way, because if it gets really sticky, you can't bail on us. And if they'll spy on us, Bob, he'll bail on us. Don't think for a second.
And hang us the hell out to dry.
Cha-ching, we have a winner. Get that man a toaster.
Oh, what tangled webs we weave when first we trifle to deceive.
It's like this business of Schumer and Feinstein. It just infuriates me, because the only logical explanation for this kind of kowtowing is that it's not kowtowing, it's some sort of wrestling. It's some sort of relationship behind the curtain. What is it that is so important for us, we Democrats, to get in bed with that and hand over? You outlined one very, very important opportunity. 2008, the election goes sideways. There's several things in dispute. You've got those golden 90 days between early November and late January, when a Republican puppet as the AG can simply make it all go away. It's the wealthy frat boy in the small town having injured someone. Oopsie, that fella gives lots of money. Let's make it all go away. That is so disgusting to me. And the other side of it that I thought of, and you know something about politics. You've been in the room when it went one way or the other. What about this? You know, Pelosi, Feinstein, et al., all Schumer, all the rest of them, they're trying to buy some support from Republicans for after the 08 election to minimize obstructionist tactics. But when it comes, you know, some crisp May morning in 2009, the Republicans decide not to cooperate. Where's the leverage then? What are the Democrats going to do? Wait a second. We gave you that McCoskey. We gave you that guy. You're supposed to play along. Hey, bugger off. You're a wuss. You won't even stand on your hind leg.
Shut up or I'll kick you again.
Shut up or I'll kick you again. And yes, we're going to filibuster this one and the next one, just as we did the one before that. And if you don't like it, I suggest you take it and like it. I suggest you eat it and smile and check with us in 4 years, and we'll do it to you again. It just makes me crazy why we won't go ahead and fight. Our Congress has a rating lower than our president. And why? Not because they're Democrats, because they're Democrats that aren't doing the will of the people and kicking the chimp's butt. It's not that they don't like who they elected. They don't like what we don't like what they're doing or not doing, depending on how you want to phrase it.
Here, you want to take it one paranoid step further?
Oh, sure. Why not? I've got whiskey in the jug. I can get over it.
I remember talking about this with Mark Levine on the air, and I said, what if this is all just dress rehearsal? And I didn't know what was coming out of my mouth at the time. What if this is dress rehearsal? What if this is to find out if you can slip a stealth, you know? And that's, and maybe that's why the United States has to do it. I don't think we've sold off any of our stealth bombers yet. I don't think we're willing to sell that technology even to the Israelis yet, because that's our whole card. What if we were trying to find out if we could slip a stealth in from God only knows where? and do the Pop Goes the Weasel routine, just to make sure that we could slip past some air defenses and so forth, to make sure that we could get the hot load to Bushehr or Isfahan or wherever it is in Iran.
So what you're saying is that doing what we did in Syria was a test run for whatever they want to do in Iran? That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, it's a tech dress. I mean, it's technical dress rehearsal. It's everything but the audience. Now, we will want an audience for Iran.
Oh, they love shock and awe. They love boots up the butt. They love getting their... Yeah, well, never mind the body parts, but suddenly stand up and salute. That's the only time those people get excited. Well, that in men's room. They get excited there.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I think I'm going to I tell you what I think I'm going to do, David. I'm going to go to the news. I'm going to go to the, after I go to the news, I'm going to go to the refrigerator.
Well, I'm going to simplify your button pushing. I've gotten my licks in. I'm going to let somebody else chime in. You know, I heard my name. You know, gee whiz, I have an ego the size of Dallas. I heard the call and I responded.
And I appreciate it because I don't often get stymied and don't often get rendered speechless. But I mean, this ain't funny. This is not funny anymore.
Oh no! I'm making light of it.
The other thing is, the rest of the world doesn't do this. I mean, it's not like every other day somebody comes out and says, "Well, you know, the United States nuked me." This is kind of new. This is kind of fresh. Now we've had arguments that a nuke accidentally went off in Iraq, but that place is so covered up with depleted uranium, you'd never know. Remember what was it? Forward operating base Camp Falcon or whatever it was, and you can see it on YouTube. And there's a big old mushroom cloud in the night.
Well, I missed that one.
Well, it's out there.
Where was I?
You can get it on YouTube. Look up "nuke in Iraq" or "nuclear explosion in Iraq." You'll see it. I looked at that and I said, you know, conventional explosions make mushroom clouds too.
They can.
But that's when the story went out that an ammo dump had been blown up.
I didn't know we blew that many of them up. I thought we just walked by them to make sure the.
No, it was one of ours.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, Lord, that's that well-trained volunteer army that's got it all together. I guess they were being all they could be that night.
Well, I think a mortar round went into it. That was the official explanation.
Well, I'm sure that made for some celebration on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, time for the news. It's just the latest step in, you know, our progression. Our country's making a little bit of progression. You know, we've got this walk we're taking. We're making sure the rest of the world views us as the United States of Barbarica.
Oh, that's a keeper. That one goes in the hook book.
All right, time for news, and don't ever forget. Mega dittos, Bob. We love you here in Des Moines.
Don't be so rough on the people in Des Moines.
I know.
Later, yeah, David.
Iowa.
Happy weekend. Good football tomorrow. Well, that's like ashes.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking forward to tomorrow, but it's all like ashes in my mouth now.
Oh well, I'm gonna try to enjoy UT only having to face Lullafaw and potentially pulling out a win some way somehow.
Yeah, and well, you know, I got to get a Roll Tide out of you for tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Roll Tide. I'm trying. Screw Saban. Go Tigers.
See, I knew it wouldn't happen. Later.
Nope. Bye.
Oh, Jesus. Al Stewart wrote a song called Dancing into 1939, talking about football and this going on. I'm sorry. I apologize. My little head just wants to get away from all this crap. I tell you what, we'll do phones when we come back. I'm going to take a little break. I really, really am. And when we come back, your calls to 304-658-5453 or 877, the numeral 4, head on, 877-443-2366. This is independent media at its very finest. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush warning congressional Democrats that if his nominee for attorney general is not confirmed, then there may be no replacement nominee during his remaining term in office. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Patrick Leahy, said today that he will not vote for Michael Mukasey because he failed to give his legal opinion on the issue of waterboarding as torture. However, Senators Dianne Feinstein and Charles Schumer both say they will vote in Mukasey's favor, virtually assuring his confirmation. President Bush vetoed multi-billion-dollar legislation that would have authorized hundreds of water projects across the U.S. The bill included funding for the restoration of wetlands, flood prevention, and hurricane damage repair. Congressional Democrats say there may be enough votes to override the veto. TV and film writers voted to go on strike starting on Monday unless their demands are met over the weekend. Industry insiders say that is an unlikely occurrence. Strikers want residual payments for work aired on pay-per-view and DVDs. Torrential rains in the low-lying Gulf state of Tabasco, Mexico, causing the worst flooding in 50 years. Thousands of residents are waiting for rescue, with 70% of the state underwater. Authorities are also worried about the possible outbreak of disease such as cholera. Near Phoenix, the largest nuclear plant in the U.S., no longer under lockdown. A worker was stopped earlier today at the plant's entrance. Authorities discovered a small explosive device inside his pickup. The worker has been detained. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, other top White House foreign advisors will be forced to testify about their conversations with pro-Israel lobbyists. That's according to a federal judge ruling today. If Rice and the other officials do ultimately testify, it could provide a behind-the-scenes look at how foreign policy is crafted. A 47-year-old Texas woman is petitioning the U.S. Supreme Court to hear her case. She seeks custody of eggs fertilized in vitro by her husband before the couple divorced. In Miami, the prosecution has rested in the trial against seven suspects accused of plotting to blow up Chicago's Sears Tower. The defense begins its case on Monday. Daylight savings time ends on Sunday at 2 a.m. Clock should be set back 1 hour. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news. That's just ahead.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others." When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier. The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally." For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Michigan's governor is asking for a man-made solution to a near-record lack of water in Great Lakes Huron and Michigan. Both the U.S. and Canadian federal governments would have to mutually agree on any proposal. The U.S. Air Force delivering Alaska's only elephant to her new California home last night. Alaskans raised money to allow the 25-year-old African elephant to retire from zoo life in a warmer climate, surrounded by others of her species. Federal Reserve injecting $41 billion into the nation's financial system. It is the most significant cash infusion since 9/11. Verizon Communications has become the first major U.S. company to permit its shareholders to vote on executive salary. The first vote, which is non-binding, will be taken at Verizon's 2009 annual meeting. Japanese automakers posting better than quarterly numbers. A Toyota announcing a 4.5% sales increase. Nissan recording a whopping 13% boost. Light sweet crude trading at $95.93 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold trading at $808.50 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 27 points at 13,595. NASDAQ up 16 points at 2810. S&P 500 also up 1 point at 1509. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
There are layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of the troubling aspects to this story. And I'm inclined to tell you that, you know, I'm not taking this as true. It might be true. I certainly wouldn't put evil of this level past the Bush administration. God knows we tried to warn people in 1999, in 2000, that this guy was capable of doing unspeakable acts of horror, terror, and wreaking death and destruction all around the world. And little right-wing nut said, "Yeah, but I'd like to have a beer with him." They missed out on the story about how he got all liquored up one evening when he was running for Congress and a speech didn't go well, and drove his car through the picture window of the house in Midland, Texas. But as I said, there are layers to this, and one of those layers is, if it's true, you remember all that business about we're fighting them over there so we won't have to fight them here? Remember that? Guess what? If it's true, and it turns out to be true, that we used a tactical nuclear device on Syria, we're going to wind up fighting them here. And it'll be a dirty bomb here or a dirty bomb there. And it's not going to be because of anything you or I did. It's going to be because there's a jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout of a war criminal sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who doesn't have enough respect for humanity to keep his finger off the nuclear trigger. Oh, yeah, there's layer after layer after layer. How many times have I had Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation on this program who has sat and told you patiently, but urgently, how the United States Air Force has been corrupted and taken over by end times fundamentalist fanatics? You'd like to think that somewhere in the Pentagon, if, you know, George Bush or one of his little evil minions and lackeys called up and said, "We want to nuke Syria." You'd like to think that maybe there's one patriotic general who would say, I ain't having no part of it, and I'm telling the world. But then you have to go back to what I just told you about what Mikey Weinstein said. Patriotism in the Air Force at this point in time is equated with helping to bring on Armageddon. I got a quick message a little bit ago saying, you mean it wasn't Syria or Iran? It's going to be Syria and Iran? What's that old saying out there? Live every day as though you were dying? Maybe it's time to take that to heart. Maybe it's time that we talk and email and call amongst ourselves just to reiterate to each other how much we cherish each other and how through all the irritating little minutiae of tires going flat and the heat pumps going out and roofs needing to be patched. And don't forget to bring home a gallon of milk, honey, we're out. That all in all, it's a pretty sweet little ride. It's a pretty sweet little ride. And how even though we are all separated by miles and miles and sometimes continents and oceans, how privileged each and every one of us would feel to sit down across the table and hoist a glass or share a meal with someone you've never met and never seen before but feel as close to as family. I don't want this to be true, this business of a tactical nuke in Syria. And part of the really sickening part of it will be that if this thing gets any traction at all, the sickening part will be the people who come out and say, well, we had to. I mean, that's our job. We're America. God loves us best. God wanted us to use a tactical nuclear device. But don't worry, it's just us. It's just a bunch of paranoid little progressive liberals who think that the idea of using a nuclear device in a first strike capacity is something more obscene than just about than anything else that could possibly happen on planet Earth. Got an email here from our good friend Lonnie. He says, interesting twist on this in the last sentence, and it's from a website called Israelated.com, Israelated.com. On October 17th, I received a copy of an email in Hebrew that was circulating in Israel. It said that at least one Israeli plane was damaged by Syrian anti-aircraft fire, but returned safely to base. And it added that sources were quoted as saying that Israeli F-15s and F-16 jets provided cover for U.S. planes. The target included three nuclear weapons, which had been shipped in pieces by sea from North Korea and assembled by North Korean technicians in Syria. Chilling. Horrifying. Frightening. I'm not going to sleep well tonight. Let's go to the phones. Hi, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. What's up?
Well, may I inject a little somewhat different viewpoint?
Sure.
Well, I do not doubt in the least that dear old George is entirely capable of this. Bear in mind his speech at the Heritage Foundation.
Yesterday.
If he did, Yeah, if he didn't get his pick for Attorney General, you know, he had to have his pick for Attorney General. After all, it was a time of war. In other words, he's playing the fear card again.
Has he ever stopped?
No. But then again, consider. Who's to say this isn't the same thing? I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying it's a possibility you need to consider. Before you get stampeded into something, before the Senate gets stampeded into confirming Mukasey, and gee, the timing seems really convenient, for this to leak out. Woo-hoo. Consider. It's very easy to plant a story.
Well, sure it is, when the especially when the story isn't sourced.
Yeah.
But Jesus, they'd go to the trouble of planting it on Al Jazeera?
Oh, hell yes.
I mean, those folks are fairly savvy. I mean, it's not like CNN or Fox. I mean, you know, they take stuff hook, line, and sinker. A classic case in point being the fake news business. You know, they got caught.
Yeah, the fake news conference.
They got caught with the fake news conference, and then one of the Johnny on the spot members of the White House press corps asks Dana Perineal about it, and she says, "Well, we don't approve of it. We'd never do something like that." And, you know, not CNN, not NBC, not CNBC, not MSNBC, not Fox, ABC, CBS, none of them called them on it. None of them,
right.
None of them reported the story and said, yeah, she said that, but then there was Armstrong Williams, and there was Jeff Gannon, and there was the stand-up girl in the red suit that was run as videotape news reports all across the country. She said that, but she's a damn liar.
Uh-huh. And all it takes to plant a story in the Middle East is a handful of cash.
Come on, not with Al Jazeera. No, not with Al Jazeera.
No. You don't pay Al Jazeera. You pay somebody to talk to Al Jazeera.
Well, I'd like to think that even though it won't make our news, I mean, since this hit the Jerusalem Post website, I would like to hope there will at least be some discussion of it in Israel, because as frustrated as I get with AIPAC and organizations like that, they do appear to have a fairly vibrant little civic discussion going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this.
And they also more or less have the sense to know they don't want to be the point between ground zero, because the halfway point between ground zero tends to glow in the dark real well.
Well, that's no, that's the thing. These tacticals, especially the stuff that burrows, you might not glow. Plus, it's a nuclear, and this has been observed in the chat room, it's a nuclear weapon site in the first place, so that would explain the dispersion of some radiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may be a perfect crime. This may be the Brinks job.
It could very well be. But I'm also saying it could very well be George and company trying to stampede to Congress. They've been caught too many times lately doing it from inside this. Maybe this.
Do you think the Congress would stampede? Susan, do you think the Congress would stampede over this? I mean, they're already set that they're going to confirm Mukasey.
I don't know. All I know is the Congress, they love watching that Congress stampede. I think George sits there and giggles every time they do it.
I mean,
but I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just saying throwing this out as a possible.
Yeah, well, at this point, because of the nature of the circumstances, anything is possible. And I'm not poo-pooing on your idea.
Or the tactical, the thing with the tactical nukes. Oh, yeah, they're going to feel it. It may take a few years, but they will feel it.
Yeah, the water table, wells getting poisoned, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm surprised anybody is stupid enough to use a tactical nuke anywhere near an oil field, because
well, that's the thing. It's not
the risk of contaminating the entire lake of oil.
It's not near an oil field.
I know, but
Syria doesn't. Syria doesn't have
Iran. It will be.
Well, yeah, but Syria doesn't have a drop.
I know, but what I'm saying is, if they decide to go after Iran, you know, and try and convince themselves that, oh, well, we're just going to use tacticals, that's going to end up contaminating all of that oil. May take a while, but it's all going to end up contaminated. And then what will we do?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here looking at an email right now, Susan, and let's see, it's from the right wing side, and here's what they're worried about. British conservative wants Hillary as president. Hillary, it's not a girl thing. Kit Bond appointed as Giuliani campaign co-chair. Bono sings praises of Mayor Bloomberg. Obama bashes Hillary for playing gender card. Welcome to the horse race. Gosh, you know, maybe we can talk about the debate the other night, or we can talk about anything but what you, I hate the way we're manipulated, Susan. I just hate the way we're manipulated.
Oh yeah, I hate it. I hate the way they take what is the only sensible candidate they got on the Democratic side and marginalize him to the point where he's basically a laughingstock.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Dennis Kucinich, there's a great article on him at EsquireMag.com.
Oh, goody. I'll put
by Scott Robb, R-A-A-B. Excellent article. I read it yesterday. It's just magnificent.
I'll put it up on Centab then. But, you know, the whole thing is... I really, really want to see. I go to sleep at night, the daydream of, you know, with the fond dream in my head of breaking up the telecommunications companies, these big media giants. I want to bust it up.
And
then we wouldn't have five companies telling us what to think.
It took a lot of guts to bust up AT&T, and that happened in the 70s when Congress was feeling its oats.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've got that kind of nerve anymore, frankly.
I don't know if they do either. But
you know, cable companies all over the United States. Comcast is responsible for this, are moving MSNBC off of their main tier so that people can't see, among other things, Keith Olbermann anymore.
Uh-huh.
Cable companies are scared to death to run... I mean, I've seen Al Jazeera's news a couple of times. It's a damn good English newscast.
Yeah.
But nobody's got... No, we can't run that. They're the terrorists.
Yeah. Now you know why I refuse to go. I used to do Comcast support. And you want to talk about crooked? Jeez.
Well, see, there's so much of this stuff that dovetails together, Susan. Headline, Bahrain, Iran racing to build bomb. In an interview with the Times of London newspaper, Bahrain's Crown Prince Salman bin Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa became the first Arab leader to directly accuse Iran of seeking nuclear weapons. Quote, while they don't have the bomb yet, they are developing it, or the capability for it, he said. He also said the whole region would be caught up in any military conflict and called on India and Russia to help find a diplomatic solution. There needs to be, he said, far more done on the diplomatic front. There's still time to talk. Oh, and by the way, while we're at it, guess where Condi Rice is now?
Bahrain.
No, she's in Ankara, Turkey, which shares a common border with Syria Oh, yeah.
And Iraq.
And Iraq. And you've got in the original news story the apology tendered by the Israeli prime minister in case the Israeli jets verged over into Turkish airspace. See, all of this begins to make a little bit of sense because an F-16 or an F-18 or something like that shows up on Syrian air defenses, and a little old stealth bomber just goes in and drops the tactical.
Mm-hmm. Because it flies underneath the radar, and it's hard to see to begin with.
Well, I mean, it doesn't even have to fly under the radar. It's practically invisible in the first place. Everything would have locked onto the Israeli planes. It looks like a hoot owl on a radar signature.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what is what the real story is. I'm inclined to think that we actually did drop one, but I also don't want to dismiss the possibility that Bush may be trying to pull a fast one.
Yeah, I can't see the benefit of the pull a fast one scenario, to be quite honest, because I'm convinced in my own heart that this little madman actually wants to use him. See, all of this begins to make more sense because, what was it, 2-3 years ago, there was a story that was promptly forgotten in the haze of all the other idiocy and evil that's manifested by this Bush White House about the Pentagon budget, including a new generation of tactical nuclear devices, and those of us who are anti-nuclear weapons kind of went, well, damn it! It's supposed to be less nukes, not more nukes. But that just went on, you know, went on down the river like everything else does.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, we're talking about Britney or Lindsay Lohan or the horse race that is the presidential election super season. Lordy.
Yeah.
We get used.
Well, of course we do.
And this is just... I was going to have a fun little Friday night. I was going to tell a funny little story about Agnes and me, and hard, ain't it?
You're not going to tell your funny story?
Nope, no funny story tonight. Save that for Monday if the world ain't glowing. But again, this goes back to September 6th, and apparently everybody has just sat by and went, well, okay. I mean, my head honestly hurts. I'm tired of sitting at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. I'm just sick of it, Susan.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I just literally do not want to get out of bed because I just know what I'm going to see.
I just got another follow-up email from David in Tennessee. He says, you just think you're paranoid now. He says, he's talking to me, paranoia. He says, how about this? The neocons put the rumor out there about us striking Syria with nukes. The citizens in the Middle East buy it, go nuts throwing whatever they have our way, maybe even a nuke. And the chimp in charge thus has every excuse he ever wanted to hit Iran and declare martial law, allowing his ascendancy to the permanent throne. Goodbye, November 2008 election.
Yep.
Because
now that is positively, or that is positively.
Yeah, and see, one of the other things that we've forgotten, it was September 2004, I believe, when the word came out that the White House was examining scenarios whereby another 9/11 would necessitate the rescheduling of the November 2004 election. They don't forget that stuff, Susan.
Oh, heavens no.
So, you know, eat hearty, kiss somebody you love. Because, you know, if it turns out to be true and there's no repercussions, there is still a moral repercussion. And that is, for the second time in recorded history, the United States will have used a nuclear device in a first strike capacity.
Yeah.
The only nation ever to do so.
Which doesn't say much for us.
Nope. You know, and here. Let's take it a step further, Susan. Let's assume that somehow or another it becomes fact that the United States, the Bush administration, acknowledges having nuked tactically the Syrian installation. What do you think the response of the American people would be?
Ideally, they would impeach the SOB. However, realistically, nothing.
That's my answer, realistically, too. Susan, I've got another line blinking here. I'm going to try to catch it. I think people need a chance to at least, you know, say howdy on a night like this.
My best to Agnes.
And to Donald. Take care and have as good a weekend as you can.
Yeah. Live fast, die young, make a good-looking corpse.
Slide in sideways going, hell, what a ride. Talk to you later. Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Our good friend Susan, News Ninja Susan, in Columbia City, Oregon. And let's see who's here. Hey, who've I got?
Me. How you doing?
Hey, Jim.
Well, I just want to comment on your scenario for Iran. I don't have much to say other than this particular plan, or series of contingency plans that they're called by the Pentagon, you can be rest assured that if in fact, and they're on standby on a 24-hour notice, the attack will be extremely sophisticated. It will be extremely massive and robust.
What about this one that may have already happened with Syria?
I haven't factored that. I don't know. I can't factor that into the equation. All I know is.
Well, work with me a little bit. What do you mean? What do you mean, Jim? That you can't factor it into the equation? Explain, please. I mean, you're pretty analytic.
I'm not able to factor that into the equation. I'm not able to.
I mean, does it just seem? Does it strike you as being impossible?
Oh, anything's possible, Bob.
I mean, the folks at the Jerusalem Post, again, not exactly the National Enquirer, saw fit to put this up on their website.
Well, I think Israel's taking the position, well, if you don't do it, we will. And they're telling us that we can do so much better job than they can. Because basically, I would think that the attack against the Iranians would be a five-pronged attack, coming from Diego Garcia, coming from Iraq, and they're going to be using UB-31s and plus the 30,000-pound bunker buster that you talked about. And, you know, Bush has already said he will not tolerate any nuclear Ayatollah, so I think there you have it. There it is.
And this was the warm-up. This was the dress rehearsal.
Well, I don't know about that. It could be. It could be any number of things. It could be a warning. I mean, I think that of all possible worlds, they would like to cause the Iranians to abandon their nuclear weapons program and to realize exactly that.
Well, and that makes a little bit of
sense. Have a military that is prepared to, or commander-in-chief that is, rain fire and destruction down upon these people. I mean, that's just all there is to it. That's the reality of it.
And some of that makes sense, too, because if the Iranians were to look up and say, hey, look, the crazy little bastard was willing to do it to Syria, he'll do it to us. And he'll use nukes to do it.
I mean, this plan was leaked in 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, in early as 2000, in 2001, 2002, we even used a disgruntled Russian scientist to sneak bogus nuclear weapons plans into Iran.
That turned out to be real nuclear plans.
Well, they had enough good information to be real. And the guy was so scared that he wrote a covering letter on these bogus plans to warn the Iranians because he was scared they might come after him. So this has been going on a long time, friend.
Well, yeah, it has, and there, it's terrifying. It is terrifying, Jim.
Well, you know, when, you know,
because I don't sit around waiting, wondering if Osama's going to get me today. But when we start playing with the nuclear fireworks, yeah, my bowels get a little watery.
Well, I can understand that, but I guess that you just got to accept, face the reality that number one, this has been in the works for a long time. Number two, we have people there at positions in the National Command Authority that are prepared to go through with these scenarios. I mean, after all, I mean, they've already rearmed four nuclear subs that were already decommissioned. And these are going to be in the Straits of Hormuz. And like I say, the attack will be extremely robust. Extremely robust.
Will it be robust enough, do you think, to subdue Iran with one lick, so to speak?
That's the hope.
Of course, the other thing that occurs to me, and you know this better than I do, the military does like to have a live fire exercise before they try stuff out.
Well,
and Syria as the live fire exercise makes a hell of a lot of good sense.
Well, there is a thread of truth in this. Yes, yes, absolutely. But there are elements in the government who are trying to take a more reasonable approach and say we don't need to do this, and we can hopefully use more peaceful means to do this, or to accomplish the goal of denuclearifying Iran. I mean, you know, we're going to try to permit rebellion among the, you know, there are lots of, there are like four different individual groups in Iran right now that are very unhappy with Tehran, okay? And the Azerbaijanians, and I can't remember the names of the other three groups, but they're working on that angle. But then again, I think that some of our efforts have backfired, and they're causing these fragmentary groups who would ordinarily oppose Tehran to stand behind Ahmadinejad. You follow me?
Yeah.
So I think that's what's happening here.
I think they're utterly insane if they think that attacking Iran is going to destroy their government. It'll rally their people to it.
Well, I think I really don't think you understand what I mean by the term robust, do you?
No, I understand what you mean by robust.
Okay. And that's the only word I'm going to use on this program tonight. It will be very robust.
I just personally don't think, because it usually works out this way, I don't personally think that we'll take out Ahmadinejad or the Ayatollahs or anybody. Because the leadership always finds a way to survive, and it's some poor working stiff down on the corner that gets his image blasted into the concrete.
Well, that is not the intention of their contingency plan.
No, it's not. It's to cut the head off the snake, but they won't do that.
That's exactly what will happen, probably. I mean, you know, I don't know. But that's just like the only word I could use is robust.
And if you're doing that to a government, what is that government going to do in return, knowing that it is facing utter annihilation?
Well, the plan is that they will not be able to react with any degree of precision that will endanger the attacker.
I understand, Jim, but what's the I've read somewhere that the first thing you have to take into account when battle begins is that all the plans go out the window.
Well, maybe.
I mean, are we so filled with hubris in the Pentagon that we think we've outthought these people to the last iota?
That too is a possibility.
Have we taken into account that there may be secret agreements between Iran and other countries with regard to what happens if mushrooms bloom over their soil?
Well, now take into account our own agreements with people about that too.
Yeah. I am.
So,
but you know, we don't have any agreements with North Korea.
North Korea is not even an entity in this. They don't have the ability to do anything.
Well, North Korea was heart and soul in the bombing in Syria.
Well, all I can
I mean, they were either building the compound or building the weapons, one or the other. But yeah, that much has been put out for public consumption that North Korea's fingerprints were all over the Syrian project.
Well, if it's been put out for public consumption, then you know there's something wrong with it. The information is tainted.
Good argument.
That's just my opinion.
No, good argument.
Your opinion, Bob. That's all. But like I say, if in fact that attack comes, it will be a 5-pronged attack probably, and it will be extremely robust.
And this sad little republic may never ever get that blood off its hands.
Oh well, I mean, we've had blood on our hands. Bob, you know that.
I know that. This may be the one that we can't get loose of.
I don't know.
This may be, and I'm not trying to be use any racial anything. This may be the tar baby that we can't get ourselves extricated from.
Well, I just hope that there are people in positions of responsibility who can persuade the National Command Authority not to engage in this type of activity.
But you also know I've
just been around this stuff so long, and I've seen the minds work so in such a way that, you know, nothing really surprises me
anymore
or frightens me anymore, because, I mean, my being worried about it or my being frightened about it is not going to change, unfortunately. If it were, I would, but
yeah. Well, that's a point very well taken, but it's a visceral shock when you first see a report of something like that. It truly is. Maybe I've made more of it than it should be. Jim,
I hope that if it does happen, then if there is some type of response and it does come on a worldwide basis, I just hope that I'm right under the first one that comes in.
Yeah, know that feeling. Jim, thank you very kindly.
Sorry about that, buddy.
That's all right. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye now. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's a Bible verse, isn't it? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Sorry if this... I'm just sorry. Do better Monday. Thanks, John Fox. Thanks, Ben Birch. Thanks, Peter Godbold. Thanks, moderators, news ninjas. Thank you, whole horn family. I don't think I ever do an adequate job of telling you all how dear you all are. Listeners, writers, phoners, chatters, podcasters, archivers. I'd never do a good enough job of telling you all how precious you are to us. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Shut up! This is the Quality News Network. President Bush delivered an upbeat assessment of conditions in Iraq at a graduation ceremony at Fort Jackson, South Carolina today. He proclaimed that, quote, slowly but surely, the people of Iraq are reclaiming a normal society. Since the troop surge, roadside bomb incidents have been cut in half, U.S. military deaths are at their lowest in 19 months, and security in 8 of Iraq's 18 provinces has been turned over to Iraqi forces, end quote. Nearly 80% of the southeastern Mexico state of Tabasco is underwater, trapping thousands of residents in low-lying areas. The military is scrambling to evacuate many of the flood victims, but many don't want to leave for fear that looters will steal their possessions. Political analysts say it looks like Judge Michael Mukasey is a shoo-in for the nation's next attorney general. After Senators Charles Schumer and Dianne Feinstein, both Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee, said this afternoon that they would vote in favor of him. The probability of full Senate confirmation is expected on Tuesday. The lockdown at the Palo Verde nuclear power plant 50 miles west of Phoenix, Arizona, has been lifted and the suspect has been detained. This morning, an apparent pipe bomb was discovered during a routine inspection of a contract worker's pickup. Officials say the public was never in any danger. An Israeli official says Israel's Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert, wants a peace deal with the Palestinians before President Bush's term ends. Olmert stopped short of saying such a deal could be reached. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and other top White House foreign advisors will be forced to testify about their conversations with pro-Israel lobbyists. A federal